development of a new strategic plan for the university. Coming up on 10 Minutes After 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg, let's check WGTD, sports and weather. First of all, not Major League Baseball, NBA last night. The Bucks were off. The Bulls lost to Charlotte 130-105. Tonight now, the schedule has the Bucks at home against the 76ers, and the Bulls have the night off. Now that WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service on this Wednesday, November the 4th. Should be cloudy with some light fog for the morning hours. Otherwise, sunny and mild for the afternoon. A high of 66. Right now, light fog in the area. Headlights on for safety. 55 degrees, Kenosha and Racine. 54 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenoshans who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the Wednesday morning show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. Today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and it is always a pleasure to welcome him back. For those of you that just don't know this, Brian Albrecht's office is right across the hall from WGTD's studios, so that when it's time for these monthly visits, it's actually a very short little walk, and compared to a lot of what President Albrecht has to do with all three campuses of Gateway and other Gateway entities here and there. It's actually a pretty easy stroll, isn't it, to be on the morning show?
You're very kind with that nice introduction. I love it here because, the walls on the radio station are glass. So every time I come up to my office, I can check in and see how things are going and give a wave out to either you or Dave and say hi to all the folks that are here that you interview. So it's
right.
A great location for
right.
me.
Right. Well, your predecessor, Sam Borden, I think when this building was designed, that was one thing he insisted on. That's my understanding anyway.
That's right. So. That's his idea. Transparency with the community and sharing information is really important. So we're quite proud of what WGTD offers to our community.
Very good. Well, we're glad to have you here for Wednesday's morning show. And I know before we introduce our special guest, you have a couple of different things you want to tell us about, including a really exciting development on the Elkhorn campus.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. You know, we're so proud of all of our campuses. And every time we're on the radio, we talk about some of the new developments that are taking place. In fact, last month, I think we spoke highly of the Elkhorn campus in relationship to our new veterinary science facility and the new program out there. And so this month, I want to just acknowledge the great work that the team is doing to put together our new Elkhorn Manufacturing Center, which is going to be a state-of-the-art center that has really high-tech skills in computer numerical control, in engineering, and rapid prototyping, 3D design, and something very unique for all of the colleges, but especially for us here in Wisconsin, is Swiss screw technology, so micro machining. Great partnership with Mike Reeder out at Precision Plus, and he's really helped elevate our programs and our better understanding of the industry around micro machining, and supports the aerospace industry, of course, advanced manufacturing programs in the medical device industry. And Gateway is one of the very few colleges in the Midwest that will be offering that technology.
Excellent. You have a little announcement to make regarding the National Press Club. This doesn't happen every day.
No, I could not be more proud of the work that we do in partnership with Kenosha Unified and especially our Lakeview Advanced Technology Academy. Next week, in fact, we'll be at the National Press Club in Washington unveiling or demonstrating a great partnership that we have in the area of STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. And the group over at Lakeview just do a remarkable job with their high-mileage vehicle, the robotics competitions, and the integration of services where students can take college courses while they're in high school. In fact, every student at Lakeview graduates with Gateway, a great Gateway transcript and college credit, and many of them graduate with 20-plus credits. And so we've been invited to showcase that relationship at the National Press Club. And just Matt Schultz is a great instructor, a teacher over at Lakeview. He's going to join me at the National Press Club. I know he's excited about it. I saw him last week. He's practicing and preparing for what he's going to say. And I always remind him, I said, the presentation's pretty easy. It's the questions afterwards that become a little bit more difficult. But
right.
We'll all be the support and cheer him on. So that's great.
Excellent. And then tell us about the American Technical Education Association Conference.
Yeah, a big thank you to all the folks that visited last week. We hosted the American Technical Education Regional Conference over at the SC Johnson IMED Center. We drew 80 participants from around the country, all the way from Wyoming, California, the state of Washington, of course, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. And we were able to showcase the work that we do at the SC Johnson IMED Center. The fact that we have some very unique programming over there, including our certification in telecommunications, our precision measurement partnership with Steyr Corporation, the mechatronics program that we offer where computers talk to computers, our freshwater technology program, our computer numerical control program. So Gateway was selected to focus and showcase all of these new technology platforms that are integrated with industry standards. So we were really proud to be able to demonstrate all the great partnerships we have with industry and then as well help our teachers from around the country earn their industry certifications.
Excellent. Well, you have a very special guest joining us today, and for probably the general public, the acronym of HVAC doesn't necessarily mean a lot, but in fact, we're talking about something that affects all of us all the time.
Every day. It's where we live. It's where we work. It's how we drive our cars. There's so many. It's how we get our food at the grocery stores. But we take it for granted. You know, it's one of those technologies that are sort of like electrical technologies where the lights come on when we turn the switch and we're glad for that. And the room is at 72 degrees when we get here in the morning. We're happy for that.
Right.
And so we need to really showcase and elevate all those skill sets and technologies that I like to call behind the wall that we don't often get a chance to see. And so Kari Arfstrom is with us, and she's the executive director of the HVACR Foundation, which is the Heating, Venting, Air Conditioning, and Refrigeration Workforce Development Foundation. And they've done a lot of work in helping identify career paths and really creating a greater awareness for how individuals, young and old, can find great jobs and great careers in this industry because there's such a high demand right now because of the skilled worker shortage.
Very good. So, Kari Arfstrom, we welcome you to the morning show. We're glad that you can join us.
Well, Greg, thanks for inviting me, and Brian, thank you for all the work that you do in Wisconsin and actually nationally as well. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
We should again say Akari is the executive director of the HVACR Foundation. So that is the heating, ventilating, air conditioning, and refrigeration industry, a workforce development foundation. Tell us a little bit about where you come from, first of all, and the path that ultimately took you to the foundation where you are now executive director.
Well, I will. Originally from Minnesota, so it's nice to hear the accent. My accent will blend right in for your listeners this morning. And that's where I graduated and was originally a secondary English language arts teacher. And so really grounded in the pedagogy of teaching and learning with our secondary students. And then, of course, there came that call from Washington, D.C. It sounds like Brian is getting it for next week. And so I moved out here about 20 years ago and have worked for a variety of membership associations in the K-12 industry. And so when I was invited by the board of directors for the foundation about a year ago to run this project that we're going to talk about today, I was thrilled to be selected and spent the year working with them.
And we're real fortunate. Kari's been a great champion for not only the HVAC industry, but also for the pathway development of young people having a better appreciation for the career opportunities that are out there. Been an influence already, the work that she's doing in what we do here at Gateway and how we're able to share that with other organizations around the country. And Kari, I might just put you on the spot here a little bit and just ask you to describe a little bit about the foundation board and the types of organizations that are represented on that board.
Absolutely. One of the nice things about working with this particular workforce foundation is that we have the entire sector covered. And Brian is one of the board members, and he represents the community colleges, technical colleges throughout the nation and in Canada that represent or have these HVAC programs. But along with him and his colleagues, We cover from the manufacturers, the people who make the stuff. We also have the engineers who design the stuff, as Brian called, behind the wall. Then we have a couple of membership associations who are the contractors and the installers and the technicians. And then we also have a couple of organizations who offer the credentials and the training that technicians need and that Brian's students, for instance, will graduate with so that they are, you know, shovel-ready, ready to go out into the workforce, demand that, you know, high-quality job, the better pay, because they've met these credentials. And so overall, there's about 12 members of the board, and again, representing the entire sector, the entire ecosystem of anyone who touches, you know, an HVAC-R piece of equipment or designing it or making it.
Wow. So that's it's a much more complicated picture than most of us who are just private citizens are even aware of.
Absolutely. And one of the things that was new to me when I came to this board is there's an industry just devoted to the warehousing and the transportation and the distribution of this stuff. And so that was new for me. You know, you can sort of picture the, you know, overall way that the, you know, equipment, you know, gets to your house or your office. But there's that whole sector about the trucks driving around delivering it. So it's very interesting, and it was great for me. I always love new learning opportunities, and this project afforded me that.
President Albrecht, I know that one of the things you want to describe for us is the way in which this technology has changed over the years and the challenge that has changed for Gateway in terms of offering up-to-date training in this rapidly changing field.
Yes.
It's no small matter. So how have things changed over the last few years as far as you can tell?
Well, absolutely, Greg. I mean, if you came to Gateway 10 years ago and went through the HVAC program and came back again today and went through it, you'd say night and day difference. Mm. You know, can't even recognize the facility and the types of programming. And I just want to give a quick shout out to Larry Hobbs, who is our department chair and instructor in the HVAC program here at the college. And he's recovering from a little medical procedure, and I just want to wish him all the best. I know he's going to be listening in to the program today, so I'll try to do justice to what he has helped us create there. But about 6 years ago, we made a major investment in transforming our programming to be more state-of-the-art, more reflective of what's happening in today's marketplace for the types of jobs that our students will get involved in. So some of the things that you would recognize today that are different than in the past would be the idea of diagnostic instrumentation, where like in an automobile, we know we plug a computer in and they diagnose it. We do the same thing with buildings now, so smart buildings. And we all know it because we see ads, or some of us even might have it on our smartphone, a little app where we can control the heat in our home and we can lock security systems and so on. Well, those all have to be some way managed and built infrastructures within the buildings to make that happen. So the diagnostics is really important. And the other thing that goes along with it is the actual commissioning of parts. So if you're talking about an over-the-road vehicle that is now using refrigeration, there's a commissioning process for that, or a brand-new building to qualify for different levels of certification in energy efficiency and energy management. You know, those are all new skill sets and all new knowledge bases that have been brought to the program. And you can take it all the way down to the very simple home furnace. You know, if you bought a new furnace lately, you know it's a lot different than what it used to be. And those are all fine-tuned instrumentations, and technicians that come into your home to look at that now today can diagnose, and most of the time, you know, it's really a matter of replacing a chip within that instrument in order to get it set back up. And so we really help students understand their responsibility of being a frontline technician, but understanding that with the capabilities of all the technology knowledge that they need to have in order to really be a better troubleshooter and ultimately provide a better service for our students. So our students are learning an awful lot more. They're learning internet protocols. They're learning cybersecurity, remote operations, energy management, troubleshoot from remote locations. They're really, really an integrated IT network analysis as well as an HVACR technician. So I'm very proud of the transformation that we've been able to make here at Gateway. And our labs demonstrate that. So one classroom will talk to another classroom. Student might be in a building automation systems lab, taking a class in automation and controlling a commercial refrigerator in the lab down the hall. And just like they would in industry, they might be on the ground, but the unit might be on top of the building, and they can monitor that and sense what's going on and make projections and changes if they need to make sure that the owners or the occupants have a more compatible living conditions.
So it's not just fixing the old boiler anymore,
not
is it?
Not at all. You know, there's so many new skill sets. And interesting you'd say that, because there still are a lot of manual technical skills. So for people that like to work with their hands, this accelerates that ability along with the problem, the creativity around design and problem solving. It really is one of those unique markets that has a great potential for a lot of young people.
Kari Arfstrom, I'm sure this sounds familiar to you, and none of this is news to you. I'm sure it's probably gratifying to you to hear that a place like Gateway is working so hard to sort of be on the cutting edge of these emerging technologies in this rapidly evolving industry.
Absolutely, and I wish that all technical colleges, community colleges, and other training centers throughout the nation were as technically advanced as Gateway. You are very lucky in, you know, southeastern Wisconsin to, you know, have an opportunity for your students to attend such a program. You know, and Brian is really a leader amongst his peers nationally. And so I know he hosts guests all the time who are looking to come in and see what's going on with his program, how can they replicate it in their communities. So you really have a bellwether program at the Gateway Institution. I had the opportunity to visit there last year, and it was eye-opening for me. My father spent his entire career teaching at a technical college in central Minnesota, so of course my lens through which I viewed it was, you know, I hesitate to say, you know, a couple decades old. But walking into the Gateway facility and seeing how they are working very closely with your local employees and making sure that their students are working with the most up-to-date equipment, I think colleges throughout the U.S. and Canada are looking to Gateway to as their marker of how they can become better. So you're very lucky to have them in your backyard.
Thank you for that, Kari. We're really proud to have you on campus and host the Foundation Board meeting. It continues to remind us that we have a responsibility to not only train and educate our own citizens here, but try to find ways to reach out and elevate the whole idea of industry collaborative efforts. And, you know, we work with colleges all over the country to help demonstrate that through a partnership called the National Coalition of Certification Centers, NC3. And so now we have probably a dozen colleges that have made that major transformation in the HVACR sector, and we continue to add more colleges to that list. So it's a process that we're going through, but without your help and the foundation's support, you know, we weren't able to get that message out. So thank you for your leadership.
Yeah, and there are really pockets of excellence around the nation, so we could, you know, do shout-outs, but we'll keep it and keep bragging about Wisconsin on this show. We'll talk about other programs in the next show.
Right. For those of you just joining us, we have in our studios today for the morning show Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and via the telephone, Kari Arfstrom, who is executive director of the HVACR Foundation. Kari Arfstrom, I understand that your foundation recently released a major study regarding the needs of the industry for there to be a greater, more comprehensive education to address this rapidly evolving industry. Did anything in particular prompt this study to be made? And what's sort of the heart and soul of its findings?
Absolutely. We're very pleased that just this past September, we released a series of reports, and I'll just quickly give the highlights from these reports, and then, you know, we can dive deeper into them. They are also available if anyone should want to read them, including the executive summary, and of course you have to have the all fun infographics these days. So I just want to give a quick URL that your listeners can jot down, and then I'll do some highlights. But for further information on these reports, it's careersinhvacr.org, and we can repeat that, Greg, later in the show. But again, careersinhvacr.org. So the premise behind these reports is just looking at the baseline of what is the supply and what is the demand of these employees that are needed in the field. You know, as you know, and I'm sure that you've talked about on the program before, with all the baby boomers who are retiring in the next few years, and it's predicted by the Social Security Administration that 22% of the current workforce, and that's the overall workforce, 22% will be retiring by the year 2022. So if you couple that with the number of retirees who are leaving the HVAC industry, along with the fact that the Bureau of Labor Statistics is estimating that there's going to be a growth of 21% of the workforce in this particular area, and we might want to dive into that in a question in a few minutes. But that leads us to estimate that, no, for this, I'm just talking about the technicians and the installers. So one, you know, very specific industry within the overall sector. BLS, again, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, estimates that there are 267,000 employees in this area. But if you couple that with what I just said of 22% retirements, a 21% growth rate, that means we have well over 100,000 new employees that we need to fill in a very short period of time.
Wow.
So that's sort of, you know, the quick high-level look at it, and looking at, you know, what is the demand. And it's throughout all of the jobs in this sector, but that's specifically. So then to couple on that, what we did is we looked at schools such as Gateway and, you know, their sister schools throughout the nation. How many graduates are they, you know, graduating every spring or, you know, twice a year in their programs to meet this need? We did the first ever survey of HVAC instructors, and this was just an amazing process and so appreciative of people like Larry Hobbs who, you know, took their survey. But we had instructors from throughout the U.S. and Canada who filled out a very extensive online survey, and were very open and honest in providing us with feedback. And so we estimate that there are only about 20,000 students throughout, again, the U.S. and Canada, who are graduating with the right credentials, with the right training, and entering the workforce. And so, you know, you can sort of picture the delta in your mind as we're looking at this, that we are not graduating enough students to fill the need that we have.
President Albrecht, does this jive with what you know about the situation, for instance, here in southeastern Wisconsin?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it kind of gets me a little excited because I see that 80,000 gap of students that need to be in the program in order to even be ready for today's workforce, and I worry about tomorrow's workforce. We continue to see a high demand for students in the residential side, and I go back and you think about how our communities are evolving and how they're changing over time, but a lot of development going on right now, and if you pick Kenosha County, 5,000 new jobs, that means big industries are coming to town. You know, Amazon is a good example that we often reference, but Meyer Foods and UNFI and U-Line's expanding, and all those buildings need HVAC, our infrastructure, so someone's building all that new stuff. At the same time, we still have all of the other buildings that need to be maintained.
Yeah. They're already here.
They're already here.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a boom in the housing industry in our region right now, so new homes are being built, which means new technicians need to be there to support all of that. And so, yes, I feel the crunch that Kari's talking about, and we're continuing to try to reach deeper into our K-12 partners, whether it's a middle school or high schools, to expose these types of careers to our students.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense, I mean, you've already told us about Gateway's efforts to kind of expand its offerings to help meet this demand. Do you have a sense that your peers at peer institutions or your colleagues are doing similar things?
Yeah, you know, that's probably what's been so inspirational for me. Like we mentioned, we have a lot of colleges that visit here, but when this report was released just a few weeks ago, we had a lot of folks calling to asking, you know, it's time to upgrade our programs. We had an HVAC program. We kind of let it go. We want to bring it back. You know, our industries are asking for it. So we've been on the ground floor of helping several colleges revitalize their programs and taking a look at How do you do that? Well, it starts with instructor capacity. So we've got a lot of training of teachers that need to be taken care of, and of course, new equipment in our labs and classrooms, but also trying to change the mindset that the buildings that we operate every day on our campuses can become learning and living laboratories. So as we make modifications and changes to improve efficiencies within our building, can that also be a learning tool for our students and helping transform the way we think about the delivery of education?
Kari Arf,
if I could
go ahead.
Follow up on that just a moment. One of the things that our survey also found is that the instructors within the HVAC program are retiring at even a greater rate than what the national average is for all workers. And so in the next 10 years, half of the instructors who took our survey will be retiring. So not only is there, you know, this gap in the workforce for, you know, who comes out to service, you know, our buildings, our new construction, but we're also going to have a huge gap in the instructors who are teaching those future employees.
Kari Arfstrom, one of the really central matters here is making sure that you are attracting young people to even entertain the thought which might not otherwise occur to them, since, as Brian Albrecht said so well earlier on, so much of this is the kind of stuff that happens behind walls, and you know, the average young person just doesn't have an inkling that there is this vast industry out there, and that some of the best opportunities for employment are found in this industry.
Yep.
I assume your foundation takes very seriously the need to attract young people towards this industry. What kinds of things do you do towards that end?
Well, before I talk about our recruitment toolkit, I just want to clarify something that you just said, because we've been talking about young people entering the workforce. But another one of the interesting facts that came to light in our survey is that young people, or what we call traditional students, those students who are probably, you know, 18 to 20, 21, you know, recently graduate from college or have their GED and are entering directly into a program such as what Gateway offers, is actually not the largest group of students in the HVAC classroom. It's actually second career adults, which we found surprising. And so let me just give you a quick breakdown, and then I can talk about the toolkit that you were just referencing.
Mm-hmm.
So on average, for our instructors who took our survey, about 21% of the instructors were in secondary schools. And a lot of those, you know, are offer the pipeline right into the technical college. But of those students who are at a technical or community college in an HVAC program, 12% of them were veterans. And this is really a key area, with over a million of our service men and women who will be leaving the military in the next year. This is really an area where I know recruitment is occurring. 32% of the students who are in these programs are traditional students, but 35% are second career adults. And so we really need to keep in mind, you know, who we are that we're serving in our classes, and that's just an interesting fact that emerged. But to get back to your original question about what are we doing to attract people, young people, vets, and second career adults into our programs, is that the foundation is also putting out a toolkit that will help the local employers, you know, understand what their role is helping to recruit. So it's almost like a grow your own program. Brian just mentioned a number of industries and companies who are headquartered or moving into, you know, southeast Wisconsin, really a growth area. And so this is a toolkit that those people will be able to use to go out. It's a compilation of activities and resources and also programs. And so let's just say, for instance, that, you know, a local HVAC company, maybe with 10 employees, is operating, you know, in southeast Wisconsin and having a hard time, you know, finding people, or maybe they're being poached on by another company. But this toolkit will help them go into a secondary program, maybe talk with, you know, a local vets organization, you know, talking with a workforce placement. I'm sure your county offers programs in that area. But what they can do, it's a list of questions that they should anticipate. It includes videos. It has some checklists. It has suggestions about how to get themselves invited to a career day. And one of the interesting programs that's been very successful down in Tennessee is called a Ride and Decide. And I don't know if this is done in your area, Greg and Brian, but great idea that you can share with your listeners today, that have your local employers invite along a student to spend the day with them, riding around with them to see what the job entails, to help them decide if this is a program that they want to enter. And so we'll have links to that on our website that I mentioned earlier. But, you know, we need to help employers with the recruitment process. And one final fact that I'll throw at you before I turn it back is that in our findings, we found that half of the seats, now I'm sure this is not at Gateway, but at other technical college, half of the seats go unfilled in this program. So if we just fill those seats throughout the nation and Canada, our gap will disappear. So it's this recruitment piece, this awareness piece that is so crucial to ensuring that we have enough workers to fill all these fabulous jobs that we have.
Yeah, Kara, you make some really good points. And, you know, we're seeing very strong enrollments in our HVACR program. And I credit that to the great experience that our students are receiving while they're in the classroom and the relationship that our instructors have with our local employers. But I want to just highlight a couple of things you mentioned that I think are critical. One certainly is the outreach to veterans to make sure that we're available for career change adults and provide all the wraparound support services that are necessary to make that transition. So if folks are listening and thinking, I don't know if I can make that leap, well, the classes are one part, but there are a lot of other support systems that can help ensure that you are ready for college and that you have all the right support systems in place in order to be successful while you're in college. And then another avenue is through apprenticeship. We have a very strong apprenticeship training program here at the college, and we work with local employers to help build people into that work and learn model where they're working at the same time and learning and earning their apprenticeship credentials. So I'm very excited about all those pathways, including the work that the toolkit is providing, which is another strong communication piece for younger students, middle school and high school, to help them yep. better understand what all the opportunities are, and kind of goes back to sort of what I opened up with about the impression of the industry. So if they don't know about it, that's one impression, right? We've got to create an impression for them. But, and if they know about it in an older sense where, yeah, you know, it's a lot of work, you're climbing on ladders and you're up on the roof all day and it's cold and snowy out. Well, there are many different types of skills and jobs that are available in this industry that are not that way. And it's just transformational in the way that we've been able to help create a new vision and a new impression of the industry. And I credit our great partners with Train Corporation for helping make that visible. Train is our national training partner, and they really have elevated the professionalism within the technician side of the training that we provide. And they provide an HR train on campus day and help talk with about careers with all levels of our students. And they've really helped us ensure that, you know, they expect technicians to be very professional and fully equipped knowledge base wise, tool wise, uniform wise, and everything. So we really embed the professionalism into the training, so that helps develop this career mindset as opposed to I just need a job. I need a job in an advanced area, and HVAC can provide that.
Brian Albrecht just mentioned Kari Arfstrom about how some people, young people maybe especially, but a lot of people might have mistaken impressions about what it means to work in this field. And maybe you could expand on his point. What are some of the skills that are especially helpful, or maybe the kind of interests that where it would make sense for somebody to explore this as a possible career path?
Well, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we're all talking about is STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And I just want to really impress that an HVAC job is a STEM job. You absolutely have to know, you know, basic engineering skills and math skills. And all of these things are taught in training programs that a student would go through so they are ready to go out and work. You know, there's also just those soft skills that, you know, some argue that maybe have been lost, but are taught, you know, just shaking hands, looking people in the eye, how to better communicate with them. I had an experience last summer where my air conditioner stopped working in the height of the summer. And if you've ever spent a summer here in Washington, D.C., you cannot get along without your air conditioner. And I was home by myself, and so, you know, you're always a little leery about when a stranger comes into your house. But I have to tell you, the, you know, tech who showed up emailed me ahead of time, said, I'm on my way to your house. Here's a picture of what I look like. You know, let me know if I need to remove my shoes when I come into your home. He got there. He shook my hand. He showed me his picture ID. And I was immediately at ease, you know, saying, okay, here's a stranger in my house, but he's really professional. I know he's here to fix, you know, the problem that I have. I'm probably one of 30 people he saw that day, because I'm sure it was 100 degrees outside. But just, you know, what a difference from someone showing up with, you know, sort of the image that you have of, you know, grease under, you know, the fingernails. And, you know, I won't go in further to the explanation, but you can sort of get a picture of who I'm talking about. But just really changes, you know, in who's coming, you know, to your house. Who's, you know, who do you see at the grocery store? We've all had that experience where, you know, the meat case is empty because, you know, the refrigeration, you know, is on the blink. But, you know, again, this is someone who's in the public eye. Just think of all the medications at the hospital where, you know, our friend Larry is, you know, making sure that they are, you know, kept at, you know, a certain temperature so that, you know, they are usable. Again, it's all these things behind the wall that are occurring. It's just a different workforce than it was even 10 years ago.
For those of you just joining us, we are speaking today on the morning show not only with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, but with Kari Arfstrom, who is executive director of the HVACR Foundation. So this is for this is a foundation which helps to nurture greater interest in the industry of heating, ventilation, air conditioning. Of course, this is a reality that is more and more a part of our daily lives. And just about all the spaces in which we live and work, there is increasingly intricate and sophisticated equipment which keeps our temperatures where we want them to be. And, of course, part and parcel to that is making sure that there is a skilled workforce ready to sort of facilitate that industry. Kari Arfstrom, evidently, the study that you did about this industry indicated that wages are for the most part strong when it comes to this sector. Tell us a little bit more about the specifics behind the raw numbers. And generally speaking, across the country, is this a good field to enter in terms of the financial rewards it offers?
Absolutely. I mean, in general, it's the trades that have been, you know, the backbone to our economy in both the service and, you know, the technical sector. And wages are strong for, you know, someone who comes out of a two-year program such as that Gateway offers, with usually no or minimal debt compared to, you know, what we've been hearing in the media quite often about people with four-year degrees. But they're also coming out, you know, ready to be hired, usually with two or three job offers waiting for them because of this lack of employees that employers need. A lot of times they're getting a signing bonus, especially once they reach, you know, credentials and, you know, keep those credentials and add to them. But also there's the opportunity for overtime pay. And so really it's the wages, you know, that are driving this. But a lot of times they go on to become small business owners and really, you know, contribute back to the society. But more and more it's the sophistication of the job that are driving these wage increases. And let me just give you a couple of examples of, you know, what it is that, you know, our students are dealing with upon graduation. I'm sure many of the buildings that are being constructed now in Southeast Wisconsin are LEED certified, also known as green buildings. Well, you have to have a technician on site that's been specifically trained, and so they can demand a higher wage because of the LEED certification. I know there's a lot of retrofitting that is going on. The EPA has recently released some rules that are affecting refrigerants. And so, again, once the employees are trained in this area, they can demand, you know, a higher wage, and they are getting it because they're handling some of these chemicals. And I know Brian mentioned this earlier in the show, but just the Internet of Things. This is a huge growth area that I don't even think that we have started to look at yet. But all of our technicians are going to be need to be trained to understand how the Internet will someday in the very near future pretty much be running our entire households, from the security to your thermostat to your humidifier, knowing what's in your refrigerator. You know, just think about it. Do you want your cable guy being the person who is, you know, in charge of your HVAC equipment in your home or at your business? I don't think so. So this is really a growth industry for HVAC-R technicians to, you know, think through of what this means. You know, how are you going to have your solar panels integrated with your hot water heater, integrated with, you know, your Tesla or your electric car sitting in the driveway that's going to act as a battery for all of your household appliances, but that's all going to be integrated into this Internet of Things, and just a huge area that I don't even know if we've started to explore that yet in this industry.
Wow. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah, Kari makes some really great observations, because we have a great company in our community called Kennel Lighting, who is putting radio frequencies in the light bulbs, in the sockets of the light bulbs, so that your home can have Wi-Fi systems right through the lights. It's an amazing – and I know there are cars that already are Wi-Fi cars, and it's just really transformational when you think about how things are operated and controlled, and, you know, what role what would have been traditional trades programs might have, and how those infrastructures and buildings are built and how they're managed and controlled in the future. It's pretty exciting.
Hmm. One thing that we have maybe not explored, Brian Albrecht, maybe you can help clarify this, and I'm sure Kari can join in, is that beyond the technicians, which, and we've spent a lot of time talking about that, there's, of course, other kinds of positions and roles that all kinds of different people play in this industry, a point that was made very early in the conversation. What are some of those other careers that are also a part of this sector?
Yeah, you're right, Greg. It's an exciting, dynamic field of interest. I mean, you think about sales and engineering and design and how buildings are created, and to the different types of computer-based carriers, whether it's IT networking, and we do offer all of those programs, but a lot of times they're offered in a separate context. So now we're integrating our IT staff with HVAC so people can see how that all of works. I wish all of our listeners could be in the studio today, because I'm watching you try to manage this radio show, and we have six monitors, if everyone's paying attention, six monitors he's watching, and he can watch the digital printout of our voices and control the volume of all of that. And that's really what HVACR is all about. Hmm. Think about when you stop at the gas station, you go inside to grab a soda or something, someone's managing all those refrigerators that are in all those convenience stores and making sure produce at the grocery store is fresh. All of that is monitored and managed in certain ways. And security lighting, if you drive around at night and you see all of the different lighting systems, all of those things have to be managed somehow. And someone's designing and building that, whether it's security systems, graphic design that the readouts show now, because if you went into our labs, you'd see it's not a thermostat on the wall anymore. It's a graphic digital controller, and it's a flat screen. And someone's monitoring and reading all of those graphics, but they have to be designed. The animation inside of it has to be designed, and all of the protocol that is written and developed for training and technicians to be able to troubleshoot. And it's really, I think, a field that has so many different opportunities, whether if you're graphic design interest and engineering interest, more HR and sales interest and engineering side, all the way through building that communication tool to the people that are building the buildings. So now construction teams have to work integration with HVAC tech so they can figure out where all the cabling is going, because, yes, we're putting ductwork in, but we're also putting fiber optic cable because we have to be able to monitor the systems. And to me, it's a very exciting career, and I hope a lot of people consider it as a pathway to an opportunity for themselves and their families.
Hmm.
Yes, and if I can add to that, in the reports, especially in the demand side, we actually looked at 10 occupation families within the HVAC art industry. And last year alone, for 2014, in all 10 of those occupation families, there were over 220,000 job openings. Now, half of those were for installation, maintenance, repair, most of what we have been talking about, who we have been talking about during this show. But another, you know, over 100,000 job openings were in just what Brian mentioned, in engineering, manufacturing, design, distribution, sales, production, and it's all listed out very formally in the reports. But again, this is a huge area, and not just the people who were out installing maintaining it, but all of the work that goes on behind the scenes. So again, huge growth area overall for anyone who wants to join in this employment area.
Yeah, it kind of spreads out like almost like a spider web here, because now you think about the transformation of buildings that are 50 or 100 years old. You're going to transform those into a more efficient building today. That means there's this whole area of energy management. There's an area of environmental protection. What do you do with all that old equipment and old refrigerations, all the chemistry that goes into that to design new refrigerants and all the things that are necessary to make all of that work? So it's really a complex industry, but to know that you can start with a great, solid program here at the college and be able to really get your hands involved in trying to understand how you can create and design your future through HVACR.
Absolutely.
Once upon a time, we thought of this industry as one in which maybe the vast majority of people that entered the field and learned it from somebody else on the job in what sort of amounted to an apprenticeship situation of sorts. Is that still a part of the industry to any meaningful extent? Is that something that's sort of dwindling away out of necessity, or is it still operate to some extent that way?
Well, great question. And I was at a briefing last week with officials from the Department of Labor, and there are, and Brian, correct me if you know the exact number, but I think it was $275 million are available for apprentice programs. And this is something that we in the U.S. are behind of what even Canada or our counterparts in Europe, especially in Germany, have been offering for years. And so the Department of Labor really wants to encourage formal apprentice programs for exactly the reasons, Greg, that you just mentioned. Couple that hands-on training with, you know, programs that such as Gateway offers. But this money is up for grabs, and I'm sure that Brian and his team are looking into this, and you know, other listeners and other training programs. But this is a growth area right now to formalize it throughout the U.S.
Yeah, you're correct, Kari. A lot of emphasis from the White House on apprenticeship in the Department of Labor, and including in our own state, Wisconsin received $11 million of new funding from the federal government in order to expand apprenticeship programs. We've seen our apprenticeship program triple in the last 3 years, so we have three times as many as we had just two years ago. In a wide variety of areas, including HVAC, we've got some great apprenticeship programs in the HVAC industry. But it's a whole spectrum. It's apprenticeship, which can be a 4 or 5 year training program, a 2 year associate degree program. There are 4 year degree, baccalaureate degree programs in the HVAC industry. There's certificate programs. And then what we really emphasize is the industry credentialing, so that we have industry certifications that align with national standards through PARA and other groups, and just a wide variety of different ways that an individual can get involved in this industry.
Brian Albrecht, if people have questions about what Gateway specifically offers, what's the best thing for them to do?
Certainly you can go on our website, gtc.edu, and then there'll be an icon on there that shows programs, and there's a little video clip. It'll show you the labs and so on. Otherwise, if you're in the area, stop down on campus. You know, you can go into any one of the student registration areas. There are great career advisors that will take you through the program and show you what the expectations are. We're always happy to try to help our community get connected to Gateway.
Very good. And Kari Arfstrom, what is the web address for the website for the HVACR Foundation?
Great. www.careersinhvacr.org. All one word.
Kari Arfstrom is Executive Director of the Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great to meet you and great to hear about the exciting work that you do.
Great. Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it. And Brian, always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Kari.
Brian Albrecht, great to have you here as well.
Thanks, Greg.
I'm Greg Reberg. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, I speak with the author of a book called 16 Strivings for God. He's a psychologist who has explored the various facets which lead so many people to have a hunger for religious experiences, a hunger, in effect, for God. We'll talk about his intriguing book tomorrow. And on Friday, you'll hear my conversation with Mark Siegel, one of the most important figures in the early gay rights movement. He was at Stonewall and has been a an integral part of many facets of the gay rights movement ever since. He has written a new memoir, and we'll talk with him on Friday. The morning show airs every morning between 8 and 9 o'clock. The program is archived at WGTD.org. Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. From WGTD's community calendar, tonight is the encore HD simulcast of Richard Wagner's early masterpiece Tannhäuser at the Tinseltown Theater in Kenosha, the Renaissance in Racine. You can go to metopera.org for more information. It begins tonight at 6:30. Cloudy with some fog this morning. Sunshine by the afternoon, a high of 66. Overnight low of 59 degrees with some patchy fog. Cloudy tomorrow with a high of 68 degrees. A chance of rain Friday morning. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elk.